Welcome back to Highly Successful Couples, the podcast that helps couples grow together instead of growing apart. I'm your host, Nick Solacek, and today we're talking about a common challenge that many couples face, which is a discrepancy between each partner's interest in personal development and therapy. If you are feeling stuck in your relationship, you're wondering, should I stay or should I go? Then today's episode could be helpful for you to decide on next steps and try to work with your partner on creating meaningful changes. One of the most common questions that I get is, what if my partner is unwilling to do the work? Can I do this work if my partner is not interested? And when I say the work here, I'm really referencing getting counsel, getting advice, coaching, counseling, therapy, things of this nature. Those of you that are in the work might have certain tools or practices that you use that help you become more aware of your patterns, more mindful of your behavior, more aware of how your past influences the present, how your childhood has an impact on your adult relationships, and otherwise. You might be a person who is interested in discovering more of your limiting beliefs, more of what is happening in your unconscious mind, and how are these forces that are outside of your awareness playing a role in your life. So the first thing I'd like to say here is that yes, you can if you want to. You can do the work. And then I encourage you to follow that desire to explore, to learn, to expand your mind. Most of you that are here are wisdom seekers. You're willing to listen to get some advice, get a different perspective, and try to integrate that with your own values and make a decision that is empowered for you, that helps you move your life forward in a direction that you want it to go. So first and foremost, do this work for you. Do this work so you can be better. I wouldn't recommend working on yourself so you can change other people or make them be more like you. That only really puts us into another kind of power struggle. We can inspire. We can encourage. We can support. We can lead by example. We can take the first step. It is near impossible to force someone to change and still be in a healthy and enjoyable relationship with them. From time to time, we do need to apply some gentle pressure through sharing our desire for positive change, standing up for what we need in relationship, and setting clear boundaries with what might be toxic, harmful, or abusive patterns. But I see that as different from forcing people to change. And with this perspective of doing the work for you, it may turn out that your current relationship doesn't work or doesn't become what you want it to be. But everything you learn along the way stays with you. All the information and perspective and wisdom you absorb comes with you to the next relationship. It comes with you into your life. Hopefully, you can work things out with your current partner. But if it doesn't, at least you can continue developing yourself and find a partner that is in alignment with your relationship vision and your values. If you're a growth-minded individual, it makes sense that you want a growth-minded partner as well. I've heard many people say that I don't want to change my partner and I don't want them to change just to be with me, just to make this relationship work. And that makes sense that you don't want to change your partner or turn them into your little robot who just does exactly what you want them to do. For those of you that do want a little robot whose wish is your command, hang in there because you'll probably get one in the next 5 or 6 years. For the rest of us that want a human partner, keep listening. On this point of changing our partner or not wanting them to change, the fact is we all need to change in order to make our relationship work. That doesn't mean submitting our worldview entirely or sacrificing our preferences. It doesn't mean changing in full. It doesn't mean abandoning ourselves and what is most important to us. It means making some adjustments, stretching a little bit, and being willing to learn new ideas and strategies, learning new ways of responding, discovering how to work with what comes up in our relationship versus letting it sink our ship. And when I say what comes up, I mean the tension, disagreement, predicaments and conflicts, our personal triggers, and the things that we are sensitive to. When we get close to another person, our stuff comes up. Being in a relationship will trigger our unresolved issues. I believe it's Terry Real that says intimacy is a trauma trigger. So if we want our relationship to feel good, we're going to have to change slightly. We're going to have to adjust the way that we respond in certain moments. We're going to need to become more mindful of how we approach, speak with, and interact with our partner. In my work with couples and growth with my own partner, I've learned that the thing your partner needs the most from you is usually the hardest thing for you to give them. It's hard because it's connected to your growth edge and your opportunity. It's connected to a part of you that is not fully developed or nurtured. And your adult relationships will consistently highlight this until you get the message. If you're stuck or stagnant, you need to get more clear about the hidden forces that drive conflict and reactivity in your partnership. If both people come into a relationship and are unwilling to change or refine themselves in certain ways, they're going to have a hard time enjoying themselves over the long run. There is a pattern in the couples therapy world, which is that one partner pulls the other into it, or someone drags them into it. One partner drags the other partner into the therapy room. Typically, one partner is more resistant to seeking support or is more resistant to change in general. And this can be partly because of their characterological structure, which can be more rigid, stubborn, or set in their ways. And it might surprise you that I'm one of these people. I can be rigid and stubborn, or believe that I know how to do things the right way. And that approach has served me well in some areas of my life, but has not always worked well in my relationship. And as I've matured, I've become more willing to grow, more curious about what works and what doesn't, versus believing that my way is the right way. The challenge with wanting to change your partner is that they're sensitive to this. We all want to feel it is okay to be me. So if our partner makes us feel like it is not okay to be us by judging, shaming, blaming, or attacking us, it starts to affect our connection. Specifically, it starts to affect the sense of safety that we feel with them, the safety that we feel in the relationship. When we don't feel safe, we usually resort to defensive or offensive strategies that help prevent our fears from coming true. We move to protect ourselves. And some common things we're sensitive to is experiencing any kind of loss of love or loss of approval, which brings up a possible loss of our partner or loss of the relationship. And we've all got fears in relationship. We all have things that we are anxious about. If your main fears are about being abandoned or left by your partner, then whoever you're partnered with likely fears being trapped, controlled, smothered, or dominated. And from time to time, you both hit that sensitive spot for each other. So to make our relationships work, we will need to face our fears. This is key. We need to be able to take ownership of our fears, understand their origins, and help our partner understand more about who we are and why certain things are sensitive to us. This is the work of restoring empathy for each other, being able to sense what it is like to walk in your partner's shoes. What is it like to be them? And for them to sense, what is it like to be you? If they knew how much pain you are in or how much something stresses you out, would that make a difference for them? Would that move the needle? If they could feel what you're feeling, how would that change the moment? If they really truly understood where you're at, would they behave or respond differently? How can you have this conversation with them in a way that increases the chances that they can hear you? The pitfall here is that when we get talking, we have a tendency to attack, finger point, criticize, and complain about our partner instead of talking about what happens inside us when we experience something outside of us. So an example might be, you always do this. You always leave your dishes on the counter and mess around the house. You clearly don't care about me or how I feel. That's our tendency. That's typically the first kind of framing that comes to our mind. Versus another approach, what could be more useful or effective would be, I notice that I have a lot of hurt, sadness, and anger coming up for me about how we manage the household. Are you available to talk more about that with me? If not now, when would be a good time? And if it's not a good time, consider making an appointment, putting it in the calendar. making sure both of you are available for this important conversation. When that happens, maybe they are available in the moment, you might continue by saying, I notice I want things done a certain way. And when they don't happen, I feel let down and unloved. And, you know, I'd love to find a way to work together on things so we can both feel satisfied with the state of our home. I want us to be able to create a win-win situation. And you can, end quote, by the way, and you can create agreements with each other that start to eliminate misunderstandings and reduce the frequency of conflict or disagreement. And in the second approach here that I'm recommending, I think you have a higher chance of avoiding conflict. I think you have a higher chance of creating understanding or opening a doorway in that moment. No matter how you approach the conversation, your partner always has an opportunity to take things personally and get defensive or dismiss the conversation. And in my experience, we can share in a way that improves the chances our partner can actually hear us. When they get defensive, we can ask them if they feel like they're being attacked or if they feel like they're in trouble. We could remind them that we want to create a win-win, which could then eliminate any future understandings. We could reassure them and let them know that we love them and that this isn't a relationship-ending issue, but that we really want to work it out, that we really want to find a way to work together. Now, if you're listening to this thinking, Nick, this seems like I'm doing work for my partner, like I'm doing the heavy lifting here, or that I'm having to coach them through a conversation that is about my feelings. I just want them to be able to listen and be there for me and for there to be space to have my own feelings. I get you. I understand that. And sometimes we need to hang in there with each other or help our partner along a little bit. Our brains process information at different speeds, and all of us have a different level of body awareness. All of us have a different sense and attunement to what's actually going on in the moment, what's coming up for us, what's coming up for our partner. And some of us don't recognize what's coming up for us, and we lack the capacity to manage our responses. So if that's you, then there are some big potential upsides available for you and for your partner. We really are in each other's care. And we benefit from hanging in there a little bit versus going into our own reactivity when our partner is defensive or doesn't want to understand. And many of us do this. We collapse, we go into our own shame, we feel overwhelmed and hopeless. And conscious relationships will require us to remember our own strength in moments of difficulty. So if you're taking this approach and things haven't changed, it's time for some professional support. If you're wondering if you can work on your relationship or make a difference if your partner is not willing to do the work, you can do some things to better understand the situation and maybe even create some changes. But first and foremost, do this for you so you can be wiser and be better and take full responsibility for your life. If that leads you to leaving your partner, then that's okay. If you've had enough and you're fed up, maybe it is time for a change. And it's up to you to decide whether that change will be with your partner or without them. Sometimes we think the relationship needs to end, but it's actually harmful patterns that need to end. We think the relationship is dead, but actually it's our philosophy that needs to be buried in the backyard, and we need a whole new paradigm. The reality is many of us leave our relationships without being able to take responsibility for our contribution to the co-creation. We are missing key pieces of insight about how we create some of the problems that we complain about. Then we enter into a new relationship and we experience similar patterns or a new kind of power struggle, and we often get stuck again. For those of you that listened to the first episode, you already know a little bit about that pattern and how that functions. In general, there are a few places people get stuck with their issues. The first is that your partner doesn't recognize any of their challenges or hurts from the past, and this prevents them from looking deeper within themselves and prevents them from changing negative patterns. Essentially, they believe there's nothing to see here, or I'm all good. And they might believe you are the one who has all the issues. The second is that the same is true for you. You don't recognize how your behavior and way of being impacts your partner. You think that your partner is the problem. Number three, you believe you are broken. You are unlovable and you don't know why your partner stays with you. This belief impacts your relationship dramatically and impacts your ability to make meaningful progress. Now, again, I'm not saying this is true. This is just a belief that people have. Number four, you simply avoid difficult or uncomfortable conversations. You don't address the elephant in the room. You're afraid of conflict for a variety of reasons and struggle to address the key issues that you're facing. You feel disillusioned because you've tried talking to your partner before and things go sideways. You haven't been able to find a solution or work through the issues you face. Number five, if you do talk about it, you sometimes fail to make a plan. You talk, but you don't commit to moving things forward. For example, answering questions like, how are we going to create these changes? What are we going to do to change? How can we work together to create more of the life that we desire? How will that happen specifically? What are we doing as individuals? And what are we going to do together to make a difference? Important questions. Number six, you're stuck, but you don't get support or talk to anyone about your challenges. If you can't afford therapy or coaching, maybe you can afford a book. If you can't afford a book, maybe spend some time at the local library. Most modern cities have access to free books. Or go to a brand new bookstore and just sit there for an hour reading a book. If you get kicked out, you can tell them it was my idea. The point is that when we're stuck, we can avoid or simply fail to seek outside perspective or wisdom. And usually there is one person in the relationship who's more willing to do the work on things and one partner is more less so. So this might apply more so to the partner who's always too busy or too stressed or too tired. They have a tendency to kick the can down the road, hoping that problems will solve themselves. But our relationship issues don't magically solve themselves unless we are learning and gaining new perspective. It's very rare that any problem just magically solves itself, at least a serious problem. Relationships are personal growth machines. So if we're not willing to grow, then Mother Nature and our experience in relationship is not going to be very kind to us. Our relationships are going to be more difficult as a result. Life requires us to grow. It requires us to learn from our mistakes, be compassionate with ourselves, and keep taking steps forward. This is why I say we all need to change slightly in order for our relationships to be fulfilling and enjoyable. We can't climb back into the womb and escape the obstacles in front of us. No one is coming to do the work for you. So everyone around us is focused on their own outcomes and goals, and it's really up to us and our partner to make the changes that we want to create a relationship that is fulfilling. Struggling is a part of life and relationships, and we can be supported through that. We all need guidance from time to time. And as I mentioned in the first episode, if you don't know how to do something, then you don't know how to do it. And relationships are one of those things. If you decide to go to therapy, counseling, or coaching, and then you leave the session, what happens in between sessions? How do you treat each other when you leave the room? What are you practicing every week? What positive outcomes are you focused on? It's like going to the gym. You can go consistently 4 to 5 days a week, but come home and eat large pizzas every day, which sabotages your progress. The same is true for couples work. We can go to therapy and then just come home and go back to the same old shit. It's really up to both of you to put one foot in front of the other. And you don't have to do it without support, encouragement, and community. Those things are essential. The changes you seek might not happen overnight. Most of us make changes slowly over time. Some things we can integrate and implement quickly, but usually growth takes time. It takes consistent effort and focus over time to create meaningful changes as a couple. Every step of the way, can you have your own back and can you have each other's back? Can you hold yourselves with compassion and acknowledge that suffering is a part of life? Wow, this is really hard right now. And offer yourself a reassuring thought instead of totally collapsing and giving up. This is the kind of resilience that's required to be highly successful. And I don't mean that in terms of just money in the bank, but having high quality relationships and making our dreams come true. We need psychological flexibility. We need to have the capacity to hold our difficult feelings as well as get support from others. And that includes being able to hold some of our partner's difficult feelings and the things that come up for them. We are an interdependent species, and no one has become successful completely on their own. The self-made man is a myth, and everyone I know that is successful has had support, a mentor, a great book, someone or something inspired them, lit the spark, and put a fire under their ass. Every happy couple that I know has put a lot of work over time to become a happy couple, and they've both been working together as a team. Most relationships don't work out, and all of them will end. Our time here in this physical form is limited. At some point, we leave our little spacesuits behind. And what happens next is a great mystery. So it's vulnerable to be together. Being in a relationship is risky business. We sign up for this thing knowing it will come to an end at some point, till death do us part. If your back is up against the wall, that's a difficult place to be. I've been there. Most of us have been there. I think we all know what that's like. And we all share different experiences of being backed into a corner or feeling stuck. Not the exact same experiences, but similar ones, similar feelings. The wisest people that I know understand that suffering is a part of life. And instead of rejecting that truth, they learn how to hold it. It doesn't mean that we're destined for a dystopian nightmare and that we're here to be in pain. It simply means that we're going to experience challenges. Adversity is part of the journey. We want things to be easy, but it's not. We're going to experience loss, and we're going to feel stuck from time to time. We may be in a difficult time for society and this planet's evolution, but the key questions remain the same. Who am I, and what am I doing here? Most of us say we're on board for being in love and meeting the right partner, but we're not in touch with the other things waiting for us inside that arena. To be in relationship also means to be in conflict from time to time, to disagree, to be afraid, to come up against difficult moments. Inside the arena of love, you are going to get triggered. Your stuff is going to come up. Your partner is going to bother you or annoy you or be a burden to you at some point. It's not all rainbows and fairy tales. And if we're doing work on ourselves and waking up to certain dynamics at play in our relationship, we might feel sick to our stomach about what we notice. We're sober, but our stomach is turning like a mushroom trip. We notice how we are just like one of our parents and repeat certain behaviors we're not proud of. We might notice our partner says hurtful or dismissive things that are word for word what one of our parents used to say to us. And we wonder, how did I get here? Why is this happening to me? I love my partner and our relationship, and we have had these experiences together. We have come up against many challenges. We know that we're going to come up against more. We have seen things about ourselves that have made us feel sick. And some moments have not been pretty, but we've been able to make it work by applying some of the ideas on this podcast and making sure that we're getting professional support when we are stuck. One inquiry that really landed for us in one of our sessions is, why are we in this relationship? Why are relationships important to us? What are we doing here? What do we want to accomplish? And that question wasn't posed as if there was something wrong with the relationship, but it was posed as an inquiry about our purpose and our vision, and why are we doing this? These questions are important because love is not enough to sustain a meaningful and thriving partnership. We need a purpose. We need a bigger vision. And this is why I recommend that your romantic relationships become about growth and development. Some days are going to be hard, and some years are going to be difficult. Even the most practiced and well-trained facilitators experience difficult moments in uncomfortable situations. They are not exempt from human challenges, even if they present that they are. No one is perfect, no partner is perfect, and no relationship is perfect. In the digital age we're living in, this is also one of the pitfalls. We see perfect pictures of other people's lives, and we compare ourselves to that. We compare ourselves to a well-staged, well-lit, perfectly crafted moment and forget that no relationship is perfect. Further, we measure ourselves against the people that are way ahead of us instead of focusing on our journey and how far we have come. And I get it. I compare myself too. I want to be perfect. I want zero problems. I want zero suffering. I'd like everyone to think that I've got it figured out and that I'm doing well. And the truth is that some days are better than others. And even though I'm growing, some days are uncomfortable. If your partner is resistant to doing the work, going to therapy, or working on things in general, here are a few things to consider or approaches that you might take. Number one, ask them to share their concerns about therapy. They may have misconceptions about what therapy is like, or that they might be afraid of what comes up or what might be discussed in that container. By encouraging them to share their thoughts and feelings, you can help them feel more heard and understood. And I recommend being curious, listening to what they have to say, try to validate that they make sense without imposing your beliefs or perspectives onto them. Don't engage in defensive arguments or try to convince them that they should change their mind, because resistance only meets resistance. Number two, share about the positive outcomes you're hoping for instead of focusing on the problems. Talk about your motivation for going in a way that speaks to your desired outcomes. Too often, we talk about all the things that aren't working. We point fingers, blame, and criticize. And these strategies typically only make our partner feel badly or inspire a defensive response from them. Positive outcomes you could focus on might be improved communication, deeper connection, better problem-solving skills, increased happiness, and a more satisfying sex life. Number three, if the idea of traditional therapy is unappealing, you might consider an online workshop, a course, a couples retreat, or another alternative. These options can still provide valuable support and guidance for your relationship. Many people work with me as a couples coach because they've tried traditional therapy and didn't get the results that they were seeking. Number four, make sure you are getting support as an individual. It can be emotionally draining to deal with resistance from your partner, and we all need support with our relationships and our lives. In my experience, every couple that loves their relationship is receiving support from a community, a specialist, or some other source of wisdom. Number five, try backing off a little bit. Not forever, but just for now. If your spouse is truly resistant to therapy, it may be necessary to give them some space and time to consider their own feelings. Ultimately, the issues you're facing may become deal breakers or non-negotiables for you. If you're a growth-minded person, as I said earlier, it makes sense you would want to be with a partner who's willing to try and grow with you. The trouble is when we make our partners feel badly for who they are with guilt trips and negativity. So just avoid that at all costs. If you decide to end your relationship, do it with dignity. We can have experiences together that are painful, are hurtful. And what we tend to do is create more negativity, more damage, more pain. We can give dignity to one another, even if we're going to end this thing, even if we're not going to move forward together. And we can give this to each other by recognizing each other's humanity, by treating each other in an ethical way. Essentially, avoid doing harm to one another or tearing each other down in the process. Ultimately, the decision is up to both people on whether they're willing and open to receiving support. There's a great quote I read recently from Alex Hormozi, and I don't know if it's his quote, but it really resonated for me. He was speaking about entrepreneurship, but I think it applies well to life. And here's the quote. "You never feel like you know what you're doing. Figuring it out isn't part of the game. It is the game. And the fact that you don't know means you're growing rather than staying comfortable. They're called growing pains for a reason." End quote. For me, this rings true. I think I like the quote because it validates part of my experience, which is that it takes hard work to grow. It takes hard work to get in shape or save money or quit bad habits. And it will take time to achieve your big goals. If we can connect to the reality of the situation versus some idealized version or fantasy, we're more connected to each other and we're more connected to the human experience. This is one of the key pieces missing from romantic relationships, and it's the loss of empathy. The loss of empathy is one of the main reasons that couples struggle. They do not or cannot feel what each other are feeling. We get so focused on our own hurts, stress, and pain that we lose sight of the other. Our stress levels rise and we go into protection mode. We get defensive or offensive. We get totally focused on ourselves and protecting aspects of our experience. So our partner and other people that are important to us, they shift out of focus. And when this happens, it's very difficult to be connected to other people because we're hyper-focused on ourselves. A classic example of this is you're excited to take a vacation to Mexico or other tropical destination. You book your days off, you arrange your travel, pack your bags, get to the hotel, drop your bags, put your swimsuit on and head to the beach. And maybe you grab a cold beverage on your way and you start walking through the sand. You might be by yourself or with friends or a partner. You're enjoying the scenery, feeling the breeze against your face, hearing the waves rolling up the beach, noticing people in the water. And then you step on something sharp. Ouch! All of your energy and attention goes towards the location of the pain. You're focused on the wound. You were looking at your foot to assess the damage. Am I bleeding? Am I okay? What was that I stepped on? And all of a sudden, you become totally focused on yourself. This is a kind of self-absorption. It makes total sense. But that's the point. We are focused on protecting ourselves. And my point is that this happens psychologically in our relationships. Everything's okay. And then something happens, which is stressful, hurtful, or painful. There's a pinprick that sort of bursts our energy or causes stress, pain to us in some way. All of our energy and attention in that moment goes directly towards the wound. We're focused on protecting ourselves from further pain and stress. When we're totally focused on ourselves, we can no longer sense the other person. We lose connection. And this is the loss of empathy. We are frustrated, in pain, struggling, and we can no longer sense the other person. Curiosity goes out the window. And this happens lightning fast, and sometimes it doesn't take much to kick this off. The pattern exists within our personal relationships, but it also exists in society at a larger level. Different people care about different things. They're focused on the pain they are experiencing, the injustice they witness, and lose sense of what other people might be going through as well. At the extremes, the solutions become more complicated. But I believe that if we can make improvements in our personal relationships, that does ripple out to impact the world in small, tiny ways. This work transcends our personal relationships. It spills out into the boardroom, the bedroom, the dinner table, and so on. Most of our relationships become fractured and disconnected because we lose empathy for each other, and that doesn't feel very good. Why would we want to spend time with or be close with people that don't really get us or can't relate or aren't curious about us at all? This is one of the things that makes great friendships. You get each other. You understand each other. You may not agree about everything, but there's a sense of mutual acceptance and non-judgment. There's mutual support and encouragement. If any of your relationships are not aligned, maybe it's time to reflect on what it is that you want instead. What's the positive reality that you want? Can you describe that vision in positive terms? One of the most difficult patterns here is that we use negativity to try and get our partner to change. We criticize, shame, blame, and put them down, which just inspires defensiveness. Even when we say what we're thinking, how we're feeling in a clear, grounded, and loving way, our partner can still take that personally and get defensive. Some of us are very sensitive and look for information that can just plug right into a not good enough story that we have about ourselves. We go into a shame response and we aren't aware of it. We don't recognize the shame. And all couples feel shame about their challenges. They ask themselves things like, why can't we work this out? How can we keep fighting about the same things? Why are we so messed up? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with you? And they think shameful thoughts like, I'm the problem. Everyone else has their life together, but I'm so behind. Or, if we have to work on things, then we aren't meant to be together. Or if we have to go to therapy, then obviously we're not a good fit. or I'm better than you because I go to therapy and do work on myself and you don't. Or if I have to tell you what I need, it proves you don't love me. If you love me, you'd automatically know. And if I have to tell you, it doesn't count. And the last one, I don't have anything to work on. You're the one who needs help. And once you get your shit together, our relationship will work. Ouch. All of these beliefs really limit us and keep us stuck. We need to learn how to work with this because all people, all couples experience this in some way. And I believe it's normal and it's necessary. These are challenges that we face that are necessary for us to grow, for us to become wiser and move on to bigger challenges that we face as individuals and as a species. All of the healthy childhood development models basically have the same outcome. How can this child grow and become someone that is able to be creative and contribute to society? How can we evolve from a child that is dependent on people and become an adult that people can depend on? If we weren't nurtured and parented in a healthy way, we have an opportunity to do this work as adults. And we've got blind spots. Some of us don't recognize the less than ideal or deficient parenting styles that were part of our childhood and had an impact on us, or the things that we experienced at school or in society that maybe didn't have a lot to do with our parents. And as a result of these experiences, we can have a hard time getting clear about what we actually need and who we are and what's important to us. It's easy to be frustrated. We're always looking for threats and danger. We're focused on that and can have a hard time painting a positive picture. Identifying what we need and asking our partner for key things that would make a huge difference for us becomes really important. And even if we do this, our partner will often have a hard time giving us what we want because it's connected to their growth. They will have to stretch. They will have to work hard to meet us where we want to be met. And we will have to do the same for them. This is one of the key challenges that we face. How do we get our needs met? Do we even know what our needs are? We might be frustrated, but we don't know what specific need will resolve that frustration. We're not able to write out a positive sentence that could guide our partner or help them understand what that is. Even if we know, we're sometimes afraid to ask for it. As I said earlier, we've all got fears. Every single person has fears about life and about being in relationship. Some of us are afraid of being controlled, dominated, and smothered, and we often pair up with someone who is afraid of being abandoned, neglected, and not cared for. Then we fight with each other to prevent our fears from coming true. So a lot of this work is about facing our fears, turning towards our challenges, and having meaningful conversations about them. If you don't know how to do that, you can learn how. I had to learn how, and you can too. And that's my wish for all of you. Take ownership of the fact that you've got fears, get clear about what those are, and learn how to hold these difficult moments, because it's essential that we do this in order to make progress together. I feel that one of the main inquiries from this episode is simply this: how can we make our relationships about growth, healing, and development without making each other wrong or putting each other down in the process? If you want to get to work on these patterns, on these challenges, consider taking my Romantic Relationship Reset program, which guides you step by step to create meaningful changes in your relationship. All the details are available at nicksolacek.com/reset, and you can find that in the show notes. I created my show with the audience in mind, which means no ads or sponsors or wasting your time. So if you love this podcast, consider leaving a 5-star review. It really helps support the show, which will then help more people in creating relationships that they love. Thank you for tuning in and spending time with me today. I look forward to speaking with you next week.